I'm kidding. That's not the ticket to your salvation, but it is important. Chandra always bugs me that I just have this love for one-liners. And it's true. I do love one-liners, and you're going to get a couple this morning. But I think one-liners make it really easy to take notes. You don't even really have to interpret what I'm saying. You just write down the one line. So I'm making it easy for you guys this morning. So unveiled, it's time to lose the veil. I was convicted of the fact, or I think this was a bit of a revelation that God gave me as I was preparing for this message, and it is this. It is that the only thing that is keeping you from being truly happy is the belief that you are alone. The only thing that is keeping you from living fully in freedom is the belief that you are alone. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that is a lie. You are not alone. Sometimes the hardest voice to silence is our own. The hardest voice to ignore is our own, because it's so easy for us to tell ourselves that we are insignificant, that we aren't worth much. But I feel so convicted that God just wants to, He wants you to receive a revelation this morning of your worth, your value. You are so valuable to Him. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Sometimes the hardest voice to silence when it comes to our value is our own. For some reason, it's so easy to believe that you're the only one going through something today, that you're the only one who has been rejected, the only one that didn't do it right the first time. So we take that perception and we make it our reality. We isolate ourselves. And I need to tell you this morning that when Jesus died, He tore the veil. He tore it. There's this huge veil in the Old Testament in the Jewish temple that separated the regular area for where everybody walked and worshiped and sacrificed from the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence was on earth during that time. And only the high priest of that temple could go in once a year to pay atonement for everybody's sins. When Jesus died, that huge, thick, intense curtain that separated us from His presence was torn. And for a purpose. We have the ability to be in intimacy with God. We have the ability to know and understand and experience His presence. But for some reason, we isolate ourselves. Do you realize the significance of having access to His presence? We no longer have to be separate because of our sin. The debt has been paid. No more isolation, real relationship. Do you hear that this morning? The debt has been paid. No more isolation, but real relationship with a real living Father. You're not alone. He is with you. Matthew 28:20, when He gave the Great Commission, He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is with you. Even if you feel like nothing is going right, He is with you. The last thing to do when you feel like your circumstances are overwhelming you is to step away, to isolate yourself, to hide, to put up that veil. He is with you. He wants to be near you. The interesting thing is that despite the fact that the veil has been torn, rather than basking in the glory of His presence, we put up our own veils. Our instinct is to continue separating ourselves despite what He has done. Who are we to put something back that He has removed? Who are we to separate what He has granted access to? It's time to lose the veil. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's time to lose the veil." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "Ride the bus." Amen. Do you know that when you meet Jesus, you deserve to meet Him face to face? You deserve it. Because He says so. Moses in the Old Testament got to see Jesus face, or see God face to face. He saw His glory. And then he went back into the Israelite camp and he put on a veil so that he would hide that glow from the rest of the Israelites because he was afraid that they would be afraid. But we aren't meant to put on that veil once we see him. We're meant to reflect his glory to the world, to people. You deserve to meet him face to face. Have you ever thought you knew someone or even a product, and then you purchased that product or you got to know that person, and the actual product was different than the promotion, than the packaging? I think it happens all the time. The specific thing that I think of was a few years ago when the ShamWow thing came out. You know what I'm talking about? That like orange rag. I love infomercial type things. I have a Snuggie. I'm just going to admit that right now. And I bought a ShamWow, and I was super excited to test out its effectiveness. And, you know, in the infomercial, they will just dump liquid somewhere and then drop the ShamWow on it, pick it up, the liquid's gone. And you're like, this is amazing. But then I got it, and I dumped Coke everywhere. And then I put the ShamWow on it, picked it up, and the ShamWow was soaking wet, and so was the counter. It did nothing except make more things wet. So from now on, I call it a ScamWow. It's a scam. I wonder if sometimes our world looks at Christians and sees what we promote and then gives it the benefit of the doubt and experiences something completely different. It's not like the packaging. It's not like what you said. It isn't accepting. It isn't non-judgmental. I'm feeling judged in your church. Everyone deserves to meet him face to face to get the real product. Who are we to present a different product than they deserve, than the product that Jesus has promised? Who are we to break his promises? Everyone deserves to meet him face to face. It's time to take off the veil. When we get this concept, religion turns into a real relationship with a real living God. I think it's so important to recognize the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is just behavior modification. But we're into soul transformation. Relationship. Lose the veil and engage in relationship. I really believe that God is going to use churches like this to be a part of a great unveiling in the nation of Canada. I believe it. But it starts in church. If we're going to leave the church walls and tell people it's time to get real, to be real, to take off that veil and just meet God face to face, then we need to start getting real in church. We need to start being real with the church, with each other, in community. God uses community to express his love to his people. It's time to lose the veil and be part of something incredible. I've heard people say, if you want honesty, don't go to church, go to the bar. And I believe that day is over. If you want honesty, the place for you to be is in the church. It's where you'll find real people and real relationship and a real God. The church is where you can be you, veil off in community and in the presence of God. Hebrews 10:25 said, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. He expresses his love for you through community, through relationship. The two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. We are called into relationship with him and with each other. He needs the real you. We need the real you. And you might be asking yourself right now, do I have a veil? Is there something that I keep putting up to cover up what's really going on? And I think you do. I think it's ingrained. It has been ingrained in us from the very beginning. It's our natural instinct. In Genesis 3, it talks about Adam and Eve right after they disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. It says, I think this is verse 6 to 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And just to clarify, I think whenever God asks you a question, he actually knows the answer. He's just kind of playing along. God called to the man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. This pattern still happens. People are fearful of who they really are. They feel naked. They feel ashamed, so they hide. They hide from God and from each other. I think we're hiding from each other this morning. I think we're really good at putting on a veil, a different veil for every different situation. It's time to lose the veil. Second Corinthians 3, verse 12, and all the way to 18. I think it'll be on the screen. 2 Corinthians 3, it says, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. Verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You hear that? Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We have been created to reflect his glory, not to hide it from our fellow Christians, not to hide it from unbelievers, but to display it confidently. It's time to lose the veil. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This is good news. I think it's so cool that we carry his Spirit everywhere. Because when we receive him, we receive his Spirit. And it says in that scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we get the honor of carrying freedom for other people. We literally carry freedom, and we can share it with whoever we want. So who are we to cover it up? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. You know, you can sit in church and never change. It's very possible. You can come to church on Sunday morning, put your hand up, declare his glory, sit down, change a couple behaviors. It doesn't do much for you. Behavior modification is just religion. We're in it for soul transformation. He wants to reveal things to you. We are meant to see him and be transformed. I think he wants to transform some people this morning. Believe it or not, wearing a veil is exhausting. It sucks the life out of you. It's hard work being someone you're not supposed to be. In Genesis, the veils went up and the peace went out. They hid themselves and the relationship was all of a sudden tarnished. All of a sudden there was this sin nature, this need to hide the reality of who we are from the God who loves us so much and in fact unconditionally. That's why people are tired. And so many people are tired. Do you know that people aren't tired just because they're busy, but because they're busy hiding who they really are? It's exhausting. Maintaining this misrepresentative image of who we really are will suck the life out of you. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That scripture gets me every time. Every time I read that. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. There's people in here that are exhausted this morning. Because they've been focusing so much on putting on a front, on putting on that veil, on putting on different veils every day for different people. You need to know this morning that you are worth more than a cheap representation. You are so loved. You are so valued by a king, by the king. He wants to transform you into his very image. That is a reality that we are to reflect, not some man-made replica. So what if we could be a church unveiled? What if we could be a church of real people in real relationship, in love with a real living God? What would that look like for the city? Christian City Church, a church of real people, unveiled, carrying freedom and expressing love unconditionally, unashamedly. This is who we are. It's time to lose the veil. It's so good to be free, but it can also be so hard to stay free because it's so tempting to reach in and pick up that veil again, put it on, and say, this is who I am. To get back into striving to display something apart from reality, but it's time to lose the veil. There's the strength veil. We've got these strong men in church sitting there like this, not going up to the altar call. That's why it's like 10-1 odds females to males in altar calls. Because we got these men being like, I gotta be tough. I'm free. Can't you see? There's a strength veil. It's okay to not always be strong. It's okay to recognize that you're dying inside. Because we're all dying inside to a certain extent in a certain situation. We need people. We need Jesus. We need to carry our burdens into church and drop them at the altar and leave free. We need him to continue. There's a happy veil. People who have always been the life of the party, the funny one. They're dying inside too, but they have to maintain this front, this image of the life of the party, because then no one can party if they're not there. If they admit that they're suffering. God forbid that the party wouldn't happen because I'm suffering. We need to come alongside those people. There's the church veil that everyone puts on for church on Sunday. I'm going to church, so I better put my church veil on. Get my worship on. Get my dancing shoes on. The church veil. Then you step into Monday and you're putting on something else. Then your mom's calling to check up on you and you put on a different veil. Mom, I'm good. I'm loving life. I miss your cooking, but I'm good. She needs to see the real you. So does God. So does your church. We need the real you. If you get nothing else this morning, I hope you get this. And it is that when people see the real you, they see the real Jesus. Do you know that? And do you know that when you put on a veil and people see you, you are a misrepresentation of Jesus. It's not always about you. It's not always about me. When I put on my veil, I am misrepresenting Jesus. He needs the real you. I'm assuming a lot of people in here have gone on like the short-term missions trip thing and gone to different parts of the world and had opportunities to share your testimony. And I'm one of those people. And I remember in high school when I went on this missions trip and I was asked to share my testimony. All of a sudden, I went through this crazy anxiety because I didn't really feel like my testimony said much. And all of a sudden, I felt this need to embellish it or add to it or change it or to take something out or to put something in. And I just had this like meltdown because all of a sudden, I had to share this inspiring story of what Jesus had done in my life. And I didn't really feel like he had done anything except I knew he had, but I didn't know how to express it. And I didn't think it was authentic, but maybe it was. But I just felt this need to morph this testimony, this story of my life, the way God had worked in my life. And all of a sudden, a few years later, I realized this incredible truth that your testimony is powerful as it is. And I think a lot of us in this room need to understand that. It doesn't matter if you're a drug lord in the Bronx or someone who grew up with a white picket fence, your story has meaning to someone. It will change a life as it is, just as Jesus has accepted you as you are. When people see the real you, not the embellished you, not the changed, adapted testimony you, when people see the real you, they see the real Jesus. And they need the real Jesus. The world needs real Jesus. It's time to lose the veil. You know, when the heat is on, the layers come off. When the heat is on, the layers come off. It gets really cold in this province, let me tell you. In the winter right now, I do not like cold. I'm not going to go into it because I'll just say bad words. But it gets really cold here. And it also gets super hot in the summer. And I think many of us in this room have an understanding of the winter layer. You know what I mean? Because we get to put on all these clothes. And we kind of hibernate in our houses, watch TV, catch up on that our favorite season of our favorite show. And we just avoid outside at all costs. So we kind of put on this layer. And then all of a sudden summer rolls around in like August. And we get out our short shorts and our tank tops. And all of a sudden the reality of the situation shows. You know what I'm saying? When the heat is on, the layers come off. It's the same way with your veil. It's easy to hide, but when the heat is on, the truth comes out. It gets hot, and finally you pull off the veil. Your true colors are going to show eventually. But let me tell you, it's better to pull back those layers now than to let it fester, to let it percolate until all of a sudden summer shows up in full force, and it falls off, those layers come off, and everything collapses. It's better to peel back those layers now and allow God to work than it is to keep sweating it out to the point that everything collapses. Now is the time to lose the veil and get face to face with God. Handle that winter layer. Do you know, when it comes down to it, these veils really just exist to cover up need? That's what they're for. That's what we've created them, fabricated them for, is to cover up a need or many needs. We have to believe in need in the church. This whole relationship with Jesus is based around need. We need him. Do you know that you need him? Without him, we cannot live fully. You have to be able to admit your need in order for him to work in your life. It's all based around need. So often, when we finally recognize or admit to ourselves that there is a need in our lives, we isolate ourselves. It's our instinct, just like we saw in Genesis with Adam and Eve. As soon as something isn't right, we step back. We close the door. We put on the veil. We get away from church. We get away from our friends. We hide from them. We don't talk to them. We don't respond to their texts as much because we're scared and we're proud. We don't want to admit our need. We don't want to admit that everything isn't as it seems. It's kind of like in high school when you'd get a zit on Friday, and all of a sudden your weekend plans would just go out the window. You got this mad, like, rager on your nose, and you're like, I'm not going out tonight. I got to get that cleanser game on. But real friends pop each other's zits. Do you know that? My friend Ben in high school, we had that level of relationship. We were real friends. And rather than hiding when you get that rager on your nose, just call up your friend. Before we go out tonight, I got a problem. But really, it's best to get your cleanser game on ahead of time, then you don't even have to worry about it, right? Don't isolate yourself just because of that simple little blemish that can go away in a matter of time. Share it. Community. Real friends pop each other's zits. This is awkward. The last thing you want is to have the veil up when God needs the real you. It doesn't matter what the veil is. We need to be ready when he wants to use us. It doesn't mean having your ducks in a row. It just means being willing to come out of hiding. I remember a couple of years ago in the early days of Saskatoon Worship Community, and I'm assuming most of you know what Saskatoon Worship Community is. It's these monthly worship nights that are based around unifying the church in the city and praising God together. And I remember in the early days of it, I was one of the leaders, and I had gotten really good, or so I thought, at being a leader. It was really easy up to that point. Nothing disruptive or controversial ever really happened. It was just like glorious worship in community. Those were simpler days. I remember as it started to grow and SWC gained attention, the critics came to the surface. All of a sudden, skeptics came out of the woodwork. Opposition increased. And this is the reality of building the kingdom and pushing the envelope. You will be criticized. At that moment, I really had to take a breath and ask myself if I was up to the task. I had to go to God and be like, God, is this really your will? Is this really what you want for the city? And I love people. And for a long time, because of that, I carry this deep anxiety in my stomach, knowing that there was people that weren't happy about what we were doing, or had problems with it, or had their own opinions of how it should go. I had to carry that for a long time, this need of approval from people. I remember it got to the point where I was carrying this around, and it just continued to grow and to fester to the point that I had to just crawl on my knees to God and be like, God, I can't carry this anymore. I can't do it without you. I had to admit my need for approval. I had to admit that I was carrying this desire to please everybody, and I had to release it. And in that moment that I came to God and I was like, I can't do it anymore, it was gone. He took it away. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I knew that God had called our leadership team and our group of people, SWC, to champion unity in a city that was divided, whether that was denominationally, racially, generationally, anything. I knew I couldn't manage it on my own. I had to detach myself from my need for people's approval and hunger only for God's approval. I had to take off my veil and have real talk with the real God. I have a cold. There have been many controversies and challenges since with Saskatoon Worship Community. And that experience set the foundation of my character and who I am in God and my ability to take off the veil and have real talk and trust him to carry my burden. Trust him that his yoke is easy. Change my approach so that I could effectively be used by God to lead through those situations so that when the heat is on, I know what will show because the layers do come off. The reality is that it's never really about me. It's never really about you. We get so personally focused in these situations. It's not about you. God wanted to pull me through those issues so that he could benefit others through it. It wasn't about me. The decision that you face this morning isn't about you. It is because he wants you to discover his love in fullness. But it isn't because he wants others to do the same and he wants to use you for it. It's about people who need you. Holding on to that veil is actually the most selfish thing that you can do in this moment. If you won't lose the veil for your own benefit, then at least do it for the people who are waiting for you to experience Jesus in the real you. Waiting on the other side of your obedience, their lives just waiting to be changed. All you have to do is obey. Remove the veil. Be real. Be who you are called to be, who you are created to be. He wants to use the real you this morning, tomorrow, the next day, this year, next year, to set people free. He valued you so much that he tore the veil for you. He died for you. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross so that we might live in freedom.
Do you hear that?
For the joy set before him, he endured the cross so that we might live in freedom. He wants to share that freedom with others through your testimony, your story, through your unveiled reflection of his image. If we could get the band back up, we're going to worship in a minute. Romans 4, 7 to 8 says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." Are you struggling this morning? When was the last time that you truly experienced joy? Do your circumstances seem pretty bleak? Do you even know what it means to feel joy? What is your circumstance this morning? What is that thing that is just driving you to hide? What is that veil that you put on every morning? You need to know the joy that was set before him, and the joy that we get to receive because of what he did. In the book of Numbers, the Israelites reached the promised land. This is after they were freed from Egypt, and it's already inhabited by people. So God tells Moses to send in 12 spies to explore the land and report back to him. So when the 12 spies arrive back at camp, they report that the enemies were strong and powerful giants. 10 spies reported, "We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Do you notice their problem? They seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes. Sometimes the hardest voice to silence is your own. About your value, your worth to God. They had no confidence in themselves to defeat the enemy. They reported also that the land was rich and fertile. But because the Israelites chose to believe the 10 who said they couldn't conquer the people and ignore the 2 spies who had faith in God's promise, it cost a whole generation the right to go into the promised land. Instead, they isolated themselves outside of what had been promised to them by a loving king. Maybe the land really was possessed by giants. Maybe they really did look like grasshoppers next to them. But it's not with the eyes of man or self that we are supposed to look at ourselves or at the world. It's through the eyes of the Father. The eyes of the King who is already victorious. No matter what words people have spoken over your life, the Word of God can break any grasshopper image and bring you to victory in Christ. It can set you free. There's no longer a need for a veil. We have intimacy with the Father. It's been torn. You don't have to isolate yourself. It's time to lose the veil. The only thing keeping you from being truly happy is the belief that you are alone. And I'm telling you that that is a lie. He's with you. He's given us his word. And in his word is freedom. He's given us his spirit. And where his spirit is, there is freedom. We are not grasshoppers. We are joint heirs with Christ. I don't care about the giants because they're going to fall. Let's be a church unveiled. Let's be individuals that tear away the veil before the heat is turned up. Because we know that God is waiting to use us to set people free. Amen. You are not alone. He is with you even to the end of the age. We are with you because we are a church. We are the body. It's not about one arm, one leg, one finger, one ligament. It's about the body. A body of grasshoppers or a body of giants. We are together and we share in his victory. We are God's children. It says so in John. We're the salt of the earth. It says so in Matthew. You're a new creation. In Corinthians, righteous and holy in Ephesians, chosen, holy, and dearly loved in Philippians, a living stone with which he will build his temple in 1 Peter. On this rock, I will build my temple. On this unveiled revelation, on this unveiled people. I will build my temple. I will set people free. I will establish my kingdom on earth today. If we are willing to tear away that veil, what would it look like to be a church unveiled? To see a nation unveiled? To see revival here? What would it look like? It would look like freedom. It would probably look like heaven. But we've got to start getting used to the glory now. If we walk around through life with the veil up the entire time, we don't get to fully experience His glory. We're separating ourselves. Who are we to separate when God has brought us near? Who are we to put up a veil that has already been torn? If you walk around with a veil for your entire life and you get to heaven, you don't get to bring that veil in with you. And all of a sudden you're going to be bathed in that glory. Is it going to be uncomfortable, or will you be used to it? Will you sing because the glory is just washing over you? Or will you shy away because you've never truly known it? Can't continue walking with these veils on. It's time to lose the veil. It's time to recognize that we are together, that He is with us. We are joint heirs and we have victory. So I want to pray for you this morning. If you feel like you've had to walk around with a veil, if you feel like there's something in your life that has been driving you to isolate yourself, I want to pray for you this morning. If you feel like people haven't been able to see the real you because of your fear, because of the veil of fear, I'm telling you that it has been torn and that you do not have to wear that any longer. You can leave it at this altar today, this morning, and that you may hold that piece of the salvation puzzle for someone else that will only get put into place if you reveal who you really are. It's not just about you this morning. It is about you, but it's also about the others that will experience Christ through you. So we're going to worship. We're going to spend time in the presence. We're going to give God the glory He deserves. We're going to peel back those layers and expose the true reality of the situation, who we are in Him. So if you want prayer, I'm going to get a couple people to join me to pray for people, but I'm going to be up in the front. I want to pray with you. There's no condemnation in this place. We just want people to be free, right? So if that's you, no shame. We'll pray with you. If not, then we're a people free, and we can celebrate together. And we can declare that as we go, we're carrying freedom with us. So let's worship. There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of God. There's no posture I'd rather have than glorifying Him, lifting up His name, praising Him for who He is. God, I pray for these people this morning. Lord, I pray this church, God, that it would be a church unveiled. God, I pray that, Lord, that You would be doing something in these people's hearts as we leave this morning, as we go into this week, Jesus, that every time that temptation arises to put on that veil, that we would say no. God, that we would have self-restraint because we know of Your love. God, because we carry Your Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, I pray that this would be a church of real people. God, that as they interact with people throughout the week at their jobs, in their schools, when they go out on Friday night, Jesus, when they're in life group talking to each other, Jesus, I pray that we would see the real You in each other. God, that not only would we refrain from isolating ourselves from You, but we would refrain from isolating ourselves from each other. God, that we would look for opportunity to be in relationship, to be in community, to surround ourselves with people that care, that can speak into our lives, Jesus. God, we need each other. And we know that You don't need us, but You choose to use us to bring Your kingdom on earth. God, I pray that we would be willing to be used, but not only be used, but to be used together as an unveiled church. As a church that recognizes we are not alone. A church that recognizes that You are with us even to the end of the age. God, that You plan and desire to establish Your kingdom here, and it will be through Your people. That we can be joint heirs with Christ, seated at Your right hand, in glory, in victory. Amen. So I hope you received something this morning. We're going to keep on singing for a minute here, just as you go. But feel free to go and be blessed. And we'll see you again next week. Bring a friend. It's good to be free. Amen. Amen. Have a good week.